night, everyone. Welcome again to another Saturday's Coffee Tea with me. And I was trying to calculate this morning how many calls John and I have done now over 14 years. So, of course, I spent about 40 minutes trying to get it all together. And so I have to say congratulations, John. Let me see the venue. All right, Maria. No West Side Story in the background. John and I have now done 25 calls in 14 years. Congratulations, John. We hit the quarter century mark.
How about that?
Well, I was telling everybody, I mean, I warned them that you had a whole lot to talk about with all the new stuff that's going on over there at Logos. So without further ado, why don't I leave it to you? Welcome, John V., for the 26th time, buddy.
Well, thank you, brother. Thank you very much. I am definitely glad to be here and glad to have the opportunity to share with you guys today. As you all are probably very aware of by now, we've had a lot of major changes going on our end with new labels and the new website that I'm very proud of and grateful for. It's wonderful to now, you know, look at my
Come in, John.
Oh.
Well, we've lost John. He might be driving, but I'm sure he'll be back in a minute. Now, he said something about a doctor. Okay? So if this is a doctor and it's a friend of John, he's got to be a good guy. So come on in, 813, and say hello, because that must be you. Because I know everyone else here. Hello,
no, this
doctor.
No, it's Lola.
Lola, the Fandango dancer?
It is.
Oh, my heartthrob. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Crazier than ever.
Yeah. So you didn't mention also that, you've known John for, 14 years?
I know John for longer than that. John called me on July 14th of 2006, a day after they told me at the cancer clinic I would die by Christmas. I was the first confirmed case of Morgellons in the state of Nevada, a disease that they told me that our government denies exists. I'm in a cancer clinic, mind you. So I call up Jill. I know Jill now. Since the early 90s when I lived in the town next to John's daddy. And I started crying because I'm a very happy-go-lucky guy, but I really wasn't thrilled to death that they told me I was going to be dying by Christmas. Although on the way home, I met Liverwurst. If you don't know who that is, you need to go into Hope and Inspiration and listen to the story of Liverwurst. But the Liverwurst told me that I wasn't going to die by Christmas, and that was strange. I never met a 40-pound red-tailed hawk that talked before. But that's my story, and I'll always stick to it because that's exactly what happened, whether people believe it or not. But anyway, John calls me the next day. Jill calls him and says one of her favorite customers, who tells a joke every time he orders, was crying today because they told him he'd be dead by the Christmas. And this was July 14th, July 13th, 2006. So I know John for a couple of years longer than the 14 years of the website. Probably 16 to 18 years. And I know Jill for at least 5 years before that, 23 years. Jill's my favorite. Don't get to talk to her too much, but she is my favorite. I always will credit her a certain degree for helping save my life. Because she went to John and said, you got to call this guy. And he did. Now, where he is and what happened to him, I'm not positive. Oh, I see what happened to him. Are you back, John, in range?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, well, hey, it's much better. Now, I hope you didn't mind me telling the story.
Not at all. Now, I knew you had me muted, but I didn't know how to tell you because you couldn't hear me.
Put your hand up, and I'll look over there and see what a moron I am.
How do you do that? Star 5?
Yeah, you got to do it until you hear hand raised.
Okay. I'll know next time. I was texting Glenn saying, if you're here, tell Mel that he has me muted. Oh, goodness.
You're better off calling Donald. You know, our boy Donald up there in Boston. He'll send me a nasty message. What are you doing, dummy?
Oh, Lordy. Well, stuff happens. That's just what it is. You want me to pick up where I was?
John, you can do anything you want. This is your call. I'm happy that we're both here. Okay? Both healthy. Do what you want, buddy. Your show.
Oh, goodness. Well, when I was muted, I think what I was saying was it is wonderful feeling to finally, you know, realize that what's on the outside is comparable now to what's always been on the inside of our products. And, you know, the quality is now showing through. So I could not be more excited. And, you know, as we all go forward into these very uncertain times, we're going to have to do it together because this is what we see, you know, people dropping like flies all over the place. Is not going to stop, and the assault is not going to stop. They are hell bound on reducing our population, and the cumulative toxicity of, and things that we're going to have to face as we go forward is just going to continue to mount. So there's never been a more important time to protect and nourish and strengthen our bioterrain. We are definitely here for a reason and at the right time. So I know that makes you know, Logos a target in some ways, and all I can say to that is we're going to depend on the protection of the Lord, because that's all we can do. And it's been, my goodness, it's been a lot of work to get the website to where we were able to get it launched. And it's been a lot of work since, because we've been troubleshooting ever since and finding bugs in the system. And we found one yesterday where I had someone who was in the wholesale portal and couldn't see wholesale pricing. They were seeing retail pricing. But I found out why, and we got it fixed, and so we're still going through some debugging and things like that. But very excited, and already seeing new opportunities arise as a result of the hard work that we put in. So it's an exciting time. Mel, I don't have a lot of new. New news, that's what we've been embroiled in, is troubleshooting, and since the last time I was on, just trying to perfect and complete what we had started. And that's still, and it's going to be an ongoing process. The website is and always will be a labor of love, and I do have plans to restart our podcast soon. And we're going to, y'all will see, those of you who are on our email list will see, we'll be launching new email campaigns and also promotions on Facebook and Twitter and, what's the other one? Amazon. So
is that twiddle my timbers like we used to say in the pirate days?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Oh goodness. But I'm looking forward to getting through this part, you know, of the process and getting back to product development and, you know, R&D and, you know, continuing to push the boundaries and bring forth new natural medicines that will save lives and transform lives. That's what I love to do. So we're getting there.
Well, John, my website will have its 14th anniversary on February 3rd. And yet, John Waveris and I have always worked very diligently to try to make it better.
Yeah.
And it's like a piece of art, or it's like a model railroad. It's never finished.
Exactly.
So I understand it completely. So if you have nothing else to add at this time, we've got a huge audience. What do you say we go around the room and see what they would like to know?
Absolutely. That's what I was looking forward to.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Good morning, John.
Hello, dear. How are you?
Getting better every day.
Good.
Just thinking about getting tested. Don't y'all have a lab that you can send? We can send a thing in to get tested. Just check on our having Lyme or what stage we in.
Not really.
No, ma'am. I don't. And I'm glad you asked that, because that's a question that I can see there's some confusion around, because on the protocol page there's a statement on there where Mel is suggesting people contact me to learn more about testing, and the testing that he's referring to there is actually, you know, for those who are going to choose to go the route of using pharmaceuticals, there's genetic testing that you can do that will actually tell you a lot about how you will respond to a particular drug based on your genetics before you ever take the drug. And so every drug that's made, you know, part of the process of getting approval for the drug is doing what they call pharmacokinetic testing. And with that testing in the national database that holds all that data, if you have a genetic test run, you can use that data and be able to determine, you know, based on your particular DNA, how you're going to respond and what drugs you might best, you know, avoid. Not only that, it'll help doctors, the information will help doctors determine the best dosing strategy for someone based on their own genetic profile. That is the reason Mel put that link there, but people do often assume that it's referring to Lyme testing, and we do not offer Lyme testing. Unfortunately, Lyme testing is a difficult challenge, because there's not standardization across the industry, the lab testing industry, for it, and it's notoriously, you know, unreliable. You get a lot of false positives, false negatives.
My doctor even told me that. She said,
yeah,
we can test for it, but she said most of the time they come back negative or inconclusive. So she said, it's up to you if you want to try. But I didn't,
yeah.
You know. I don't like to do anything with that stuff without talking to you and Mel.
Well, I don't want to brag, but if you're working with me, I'll tell you you're better before you know you're better. And if you don't believe it, you can ask the last three people who got better. That would be Karen. Okay, that would... Well, let me finish now. That would be Karen, because it's true. I can't tell you exactly how I know all the time, but when I say I know, it's always right on the money, and the people who got well can actually attest to that, which is good. Okay, and again, honestly, how I know, basically from what we talk about during the coaching. If I talk to you enough times, I know exactly what's going on with you. And Terry, Donna, and Karen all can attest to that fact that I told them months or two before they were well, they were better. And it took them that amount of time between a month and 2 months to come to the same realization. Again, I can't explain to you exactly how I know. Maybe it's a gift from up above, but I know. And they'll tell you. He knew. So, forget the tests. I mean, there were really some good Lyme doctors, but they don't want to practice our kind of medicine because they're afraid they're going to lose their license. So, when you're better, I'll know, and I'll tell you before it really sinks into you that that's the case. Sorry to interrupt, John.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Well,
all right.
It's interesting what you just said. I definitely don't practice medicine and don't want to practice medicine. But I understand what you're saying for sure. Doctors don't want to admit that the problem is not the germ, it's the bioterrain. You know, the germ theory won out for obvious reasons. The pharmaceutical industry is what it is because of the germ theory. And so it's, you know, doctors who stand up against that do put their license at risk. And that's why so few do practice medicine the way I would if I were a doctor, and the way my father
did. Not only that, but it can be life-threatening. How many holistic practitioners have been killed in the last few years under mysterious circumstances?
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, I've been at risk for a long time. Let them come. I'm ready.
It is sad, though, that doctors...
Of course it's sick that you sleep with one eye open.
Yeah. Well, it's sad that doctors are not taught all the information about how the body works and nutritional, the importance of, you know, what goes in determines so much about how our body works. It's we really are what we eat. It's simple.
There is no doubt about that, John. Absolutely none. None. Diet is so important to great health.
Yeah, it is. Well, let's get back to some questions and see what people need to know.
Okay, I was having too much fun. All right, Catherine of the Desert, welcome, kid.
Sorry, I had you on mute.
Don't be sorry.
I don't have any questions right now. Nice to have you here today, John.
Thank you, precious lady. It's good to hear
you. All right. If I'm not mistaken, that is Karen, the ex-librarian. Okay, area code 317.
Yes, can you tell me about the new Magnifizyme?
Okay, that must be Maria.
Yes.
All righty.
Hey, Maria.
Hi.
Magnifizyme?
How are you?
I'm good, honey. How about yourself?
Good, thank you.
Good. Magnifizyme is actually serrapeptase is exactly what it is, but our name for it is Magnifizyme. But it's a systemic enzyme that is that breaks down protein, and as opposed to a digestive enzyme that it also breaks down either protein, fats, or starches. ferropeptase breaks down proteins in the body, but it's not a digestive enzyme in the sense of the, you know, the, like essential digestion, the proteolytic enzymes that we have in there. It's more of an anti-inflammatory, and it does, it's like a house cleaner, if you will. And the, you know, when you have a battlefield going on in the body, there, you know, as you can imagine, there's, in a battlefield, there's a lot of debris and a lot of, you know, dead corpses and, you know, just nasty stuff that needs to be cleaned up. And that's what ferropeptase does, is it cleans up the battlefield and basically rids the body of things that don't need to be there. That is what it does, and it's profoundly anti-inflammatory. So the one of the things that people with chronic illness have to deal with is elevated inflammation from a systemic standpoint, just throughout the body, baseline inflammation. And systemic enzymes are helpful in reducing that. And that's a good thing, because inflammation is the damaging factor that causes all kinds of negative things to happen in the body, like laying down a cholesterol on the lining of the blood vessels. This is our body's response to inflammation in our blood vessels and damage that has happened to the arterial wall. So we lay down plaque and cholesterol on those over the wall of the blood vessels in an attempt to smooth them back out and deal with the damage being done by inflammation. And over time, that hardens the arteries and makes them less flexible. And, you know, we go, as that progresses, we have more and more symptoms, you know, more issues with blood pressure and more elevated risk, cardiovascular risk of heart attack, strokes, diabetes, you name it, and all those things, you know, just progress. So that is the role of that product in our protocol, is to reduce inflammation primarily, but also clean up the battlefield.
All right. Well, you know, John, my latest slogan is, with Magnificine, long term, you will feel fine.
I like that.
All right. Well, I'll try to take it up a notch. I'll sleep on it and come up with really good verse for you. All right. Okay. Let's keep on keeping on here before I get fired. Let's see there. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. What's his name? Diane. Where's Donald Duck? Oh, there he is. He came back. Okay, I see what happened. They're dropping off and coming back. There must be magnetic interference around the earth. All right. So, Mr. and Mrs. What's his name? Diane and Paul, and you're not muted.
Hey, Mel. Hey, good morning, John.
Hi.
Hey, Paul. Diane. How y'all doing?
We're doing really good. Always good to hear from you. Did you want me to ask about our nose, hon? Yeah, we just wanted to get your thought on something where, I don't know, like for the last 6 or 9 months, we've kind of just had a chronic, if that's the right word, running nose. And it tends to be mostly kind of watery. It's not like mucusy. And just wanted to get your thoughts and opinion on that.
What did Diane say?
I said, we just want to know why the nose just runs perpetually. And it's just like water, and it's mostly only out of the right side for both of us. Very, very peculiar.
Interesting. Well, obviously,
sounds,
you know,
peculiar to me, John.
Yeah.
No, really.
It responds to infection and you know, inflammation by oftentimes by producing more fluid. And, you know, when you get a sinus infection, your nose run, you know, your nose will run at first, and as it progresses, you get, it goes from being just fluid to, like, you know, pus. It gets thicker. But it's the body trying to dispel body starts throwing off additional fluids, that's generally what's happening, is it's just trying to get rid of things.
Okay.
I don't want to play doctor, John, but I do. Okay. But what about suggesting that they take Emflustat for a while, see if that helps? Because if anything's going to take down inflammation, I mean, that's like our nuclear bomb.
Yeah, I mean, Emflustat definitely is a great anti-inflammatory formula. It has magnesium in it at a lower strength. It's got half of the serrapeptase in it that magnesium does, but it also has a lot of other a broad spectrum of proteolytic enzymes. So it's going to be anti-inflammatory strategies from a multitude of different directions and affecting different types.
Remember, John, I didn't have to have a knee operation on my torn meniscus because once we went to Emflustat with Magnificent, Joint Marvel, and Autumn's Vitality, I was working out my own thing by going up and down steps again to strengthen my knee. I have no problems. I haven't worn a brace now for 3 or 4 months. So
wow.
I think Emflustat is a marvelous wonder drug. I call it a nuke because it's stronger than anything else that I think we're using. But the combination, and you've taught me about combos, the synergy of combos. Mm-hmm. I mean, Joint Marvel, Adam's Vitality, Magnificent, and Emflustat take this old man's body with all those broken bones and missing teeth, and I am a bundle to handle still.
Yeah. Well, so you start looking at the inflammatory cascades in the body and, you know, the way they affect symptoms and so forth, like what you're talking about, Paul, what really comes to mind first is the histamine response. And because of that, I will make a suggestion that you if you're not already taking it, I would find some a good source of quercetin.
What? What is it called?
Quercetin.
Spell it.
It's quercetin. It's a bioflavonoid found in apple peels and other places, mainly in the fruit world. And it's profoundly anti-inflammatory, especially as far as affecting histamine receptors. And I call it God's Benadryl because it does act on the body the same way Benadryl does, but it doesn't make you sleepy like Benadryl does.
Do you make that, John?
I don't have it in an individual product. But I did include it in our Bio-C product, you know, the Bio-C Plus. It has some quercetin in there. But you could take a good bit more quercetin, especially if you're continuing to have those runny nose issues. And it may help to quell some of that.
Okay. All right. We'll look for that. We could buy that usually at a health food store.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All righty. So, let's see. Dale, good morning again, Dale. Do I have Dale muted? No. Well, he might be running around with the children. All right, let's go ahead. Ruth Ann, good morning, Ruth Ann.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
I've been sitting here thinking, what can I ask him? I'm having issues with my chest, where my ribs are, and where it hits my stomach. I'm having issues with it. It doesn't like me taking all those pills. Yeah. And so I have to take them. What do I want to say? A little bit at a time. So throughout the day, I'm taking them. And I have not been able to get the third one down. I've been getting one and what I call the first dose and the second dose down, but I have not been able to do the third dose. My tummy just doesn't. Something's changed.
Let me just say this, okay? Since I've gotten well, I don't eat three meals anymore. So
I'm talking about the protocol.
Yeah, so am I. Okay. Let me finish. Okay. So now I take two meals. So I took the pills and divided them up into two meals. So I can send you a copy of what I do if you'd like.
Yeah.
And then you can try that, and that will make it easier for you. All you have to do is send me an email. Mel, send me your regimen.
Okay.
And you'll have it in 10 minutes after I get the email.
Okay. And I want to ask another question to John. John, I was in the hospital in September, and I was dehydrated because I was having diarrhea for 2 days constantly.
Yes.
And they tried to rehydrate me, and the fluids that they gave me ended up circling my heart and my lungs.
Wonderful.
And so they said, the cardiologist said that I had heart failure. Now, can you describe to me what that means?
Well,
my heart,
one of the challenges,
the heart's working fine.
Yeah, one of the challenges that that doctors can have in trying to rehydrate somebody, you know, with IV, is that they bring on so much fluid that the body can't, process it appropriately, and it builds up around the heart, and you end up with congestive heart failure. The symptoms of congestive heart failure that are actually induced by the IVs, excessive IVs.
Uh-huh.
But, congestive heart failure is something that can develop on its own, obviously, as well. And that is that's what it is. It's a buildup of fluid around the lung.
But see, I don't have it now.
Well, that's
good. I don't have the fluid around my lungs now.
No, hopefully not. And you shouldn't. So what was the question? Are you saying?
I'm asking what heart failure means. What would it mean to me and my health?
Well, as far as congestive heart failure or other types?
Well, they just said I had heart failure.
Yes,
so,
but it's called congestive heart failure. My best friend Richard had the same thing. Water in the lungs, got around the heart, had to have a little procedure. He's fine now. I think he takes some kind of something, but I told him he didn't have to take that. We could fix that naturally. But,
I don't have it now.
I recommend that. If they're telling you have heart failure, then what they must be talking about congestive heart failure, which is fluid accumulation around the heart in the lungs.
Yeah, it's not in the lungs. It was around the lungs, they said.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, they will use, diuretics to deal with that, to help you get the fluid off.
Yeah, they did. They said that's the only diuretic is the only way they can get fluids out of the body. They said that's it. They did give me diuretics. I took for a month maybe, and then They told me I didn't have to take them anymore.
Correct.
Okay. Good.
All right.
Well, then, as far as, you know, lowering your cardiovascular risk profile, the best thing to do then, if you're not dealing with fluid accumulation, is to reduce inflammation in the body. And, you know, that's that the things that we do in our protocol and in the programs that we're putting together are as far as reducing cardiac inflammation and systemic inflammation, cardiovascular risk are things like essential omegas. The omega-3 fatty acids are so important for controlling inflammation in the body. And then things like magnesium, because magnesium has a direct anti-inflammatory effect, or Inflastat, as Mel pointed out, it has a combination of systemic enzymes and digestive enzymes as well. And then Nitro Complex is another tool that we have that can be very helpful in lowering cardiovascular risk, because it naturally makes the lining of the endothelial lining of the blood vessels more flexible, and that lowers blood pressure and lowers cardiovascular risk naturally, because you're reducing inflammation and enhancing the body's ability to respond as you know your needs change. Your heart is designed to be able to pump much harder if you have to run, you know, fight or flight type scenario, and your blood vessels are designed to be able to respond as things, you know, to your changing needs as whatever you're confronted with. But the older we get, and the less active we've been for a long period of time, those things, you know, don't work as well. So, you know, what we can do to support helping our body's ability to adapt and respond to situations like that, these products do support at that level. I mean, they're designed to help lower inflammation and enhance the flexibility of blood vessels and so forth, so that our bodies can respond and adapt more effectively to whatever challenges that we're going through. But as far as the accumulation of fluids, that's something that your doctors will monitor, and they'll deal with it as needed, you know, taking you on and off of products that will lower that fluid accumulation.
All righty. Let's go to the next person, Jesse. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. How are you guys? I was wanting to know how you can tell the protocol's working. Are there any markers that I can kind of look out for to know that my bioterrain is getting more healthy?
Good morning, dear.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That's a good question. There are markers that we can look at for sure. The systemic inflammation markers, like CRP, C-reactive protein, or homocysteine. As far as your blood work goes, there's some markers that we can, you know, measure and look for that show improvements. You know, people that are dealing with compromised liver function that have elevated liver enzymes, they'll be able to see improvements in that regard. We see that all the time. With the protocol, though, it's the response that people give me has varied from, I've been in the bed for 3 months, and now I've been up for the last 3 days cleaning out my closet, to
right.
Took 12 months for them to start to see, material changes, but they are starting to see them now. It's just a matter of, each individual person is on their own journey. But when you look at the protocol and the logic behind it and the depth of it and how these things are designed to work together, it literally is supporting every metabolic pathway in every organ and organ system in the body.
Great.
So it's like, it's hard to imagine any way that it could not be beneficial. But what I would say is, you know, if you look at the Mel's website, you'll see a pattern kind of emerge from what you see. The time people arrive and they're, you know, chewed up and spit out by Western medicine and dealing with severe brain fog and a lot of times it's a dire scenario by the time people find us. And the pattern we see, though, is a pattern of stabilization, where they've gone from hopelessness to, you know, beginning to see that they've made substantial improvements in just their baseline energy levels and so forth. And then it can take some time, you know, to get to that point. It just depends on what someone's particular challenges are, not only in terms of their cumulative load of toxicity from their exposures over their lifetime, but also what kind of exposures they've got now. And, you know, sometimes we've seen scenarios where people are continually being reinfected from their environment or from pets or whatever. And some scenarios like that can kind of drag things out longer. But in general, what I would say is, you know, what you should expect being on the protocol is that your energy levels are restored and, you know, brought back. We're trying with this protocol to put people back into what we call homeostasis, or system scenario where all the systems are back into balance and the body is performing where it's supposed to. Whether it's Morgellons or hepatitis C or severe candida overgrowth, whatever, it's what we see is a pattern where people are slowly improving and each round, so to speak, they go a little higher and get a little better, but it takes time, and you can expect setbacks because that's the way life is. You know, our bodies are not machines; they're doing their best to adapt to the current circumstances, and they have to also deal with the cumulative problems that are formed that are just a natural consequence of poor choices in some cases that we make, or just things that we don't even have any control over that we're exposed to.
All right, can I jump in?
Please.
Let's do some layman terms. Okay, the quickest I've ever seen is 9 months. The longest I've ever seen is 5 years. There are, let's suffice to say that the guiding principles, everybody's body is different, and so is everybody's circumstance. Okay? I think that in the old days, people were getting well in about 18 months to 2 years. Now, with the increased toxicity on a multitude of levels from a multitude of sources, it looks like it's taking about 2 to 2.5, maybe 3 years. And that's without other health issues or unbelievably high anxiety or work too much because you must have the money but don't get enough rest. Those three things will keep you back. But what are the markers that you can have for yourselves? Well, we'll get it from the people who got well. They all kept a book, and it had a multitude of divisions. And they put different sections from how they were feeling to what they were eating to emotional stress levels for different reasons. I mean, the book was incredible, but people can go back in their books and they could actually see the progress they made. Now, some brave souls posted continuously on the website. And if you notice those names over and over again, well, you go ahead and check out the testimonials. They all got better. So there are a couple of ways, okay? Coming to these calls on the weekend, which are free, you can't say enough of what you're going to learn. Posting in the website on a regular basis, well, you're putting your journey in print. Okay, you're in the website a couple of times a week, so that's not bad. Keeping the book, everybody who kept the book, and I gave everybody a hard time until they started keeping the book. And now, with the new coaching parameters and less people to coach, I have more time to be more detailed to allow these people to get out of here quicker. And they're all keeping a book, and they're all giving me a food journal twice a week. And that's going to expedite their recovery. And then last but not least, if you are coaching from me, I ask you questions. And by the answers you give me, after 14 years, I know where you're at. Even though you're different, the way you answer my questions tells me everything I need to know about you. All right, John. That's all I got to say. I think those are the layman terms, the way I see them.
Good. Yep, good stuff.
Oh, and by the way, John was talking about a familiar pattern. It's called From Misery to Mastery. I think I started to write it, and John told me to go back to playing hockey. And it's in the He Cures All Foundation on the homepage. And the He Cures All Foundation is the one place where you can hear the success story of Amber. Okay, she talks about her 14-year-old boy who got cured of leukemia right here on our website. So it's a great website. It's not going to beg you for money. It's going to give you information that's not here, but it's there. All right, John.
Well, was it Marie that we were talking to?
No, she told us to come back. We were talking to... Hang on a second, I have to go to that browser. I got four browsers open right now. Let's see. I think we were talking to Jesse. Okay, but Maria or Nigel is back. You're going to have to wait till we come around here, but we'll get you. We didn't forget we missed you. Okay.
I just wanted to make sure we answered this lady's question to her satisfaction.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Absolutely.
John, she is quick. You think she comes from Manhattan? All right. I knew she got it. I know her. Okay. All right. Chrissy from Scotland. Welcome, dear.
Hi there. Hi, John. I don't have
Hello,
any questions,
Chrissy.
But I just... Hi, John. I don't have any questions, but I just want to say, you know, I'm just so grateful for the lovely synergy of, you know, herbs and nutrients and digestive enzymes and amino acids and essential, you know, omegas and all the probiotics, all the wonderful stuff that we get, you know, from the protocol. And, you know, I thank God for it, and I also thank the HCF, and I thank you, I thank Mel, and it's like we're all so lucky to have this synergy, you know, that your dad started, and then you and your knowledge and your experience as well. And that was lovely to hear. This is your 26th call as well, but we just learn so much from you every time you come on, and you're just a very nice man, and you're humble as well with it, and you just come and you just share everything that you can with us. So I hope that you had a nice Christmas, New Year, and I hope all your family are keeping well, and I hope that you're keeping well too.
Thank you, dear. Thank you so much. Same to you.
Did you see the bomb?
Sorry?
Did you see the bomb?
Did thank you. What's that, Mel?
I said, isn't she the bomb? That's a term here for the young kids. Okay. Oh, you know that term, huh? Even in Scotland. All right, you.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Let's see now. Okay. Chrissy, God bless, honey. All right. My boy from Brazil. Well, no, he's going to Peru. Third time in about 12 months. This guy's always on vacation if he's not working in the garden or over at the fish market. Come in, Donald.
Hey, John. Thanks for being here.
Hey,
I got a question. Can you talk a little about how the body utilizes electricity and how it varies? I mean, is that a good one for you? I know it's a little off the, you know, different.
Well, yeah, that's a little different. We're definitely electrical beings, though. We are, you know, we are creating electricity and using electricity in the body, but it's not transmitted the same way it is on, you know, on your house. It's actually ions, electrically charged particles moving through the body and, you know, moving energy and information around throughout the body. And we are definitely electrical beings. We emit electrical fields, and you can measure a person's aura, that electrical field is generated by them, and they're actually quite different. You know, each individual person has unique electrical signatures, and it's fascinating. But obviously, that, you know, our energy, our cellular energy output is what really determines our electrical potential as an individual. And that is, you know, if you study our protocol and the explanation for our protocol, you'll know that the end game intent or goal of our protocol is to restore cellular energy potential and raise cellular energy potential in the body. Because, you know, if we're oscillating at a subpar range, everything in the body is going to be sluggish, and we're not, you know, our cellular energy potential is not up to par. Every organ and organ system, every cell of our body suffers from it. So it's at that level where we really, you know, where we're coming from in designing this protocol is, how can we support the body's ability to make energy and to utilize that energy effectively to respond to threats and to maintain our own health and do everything that needs to be done? I'm not sure what angle you were you know, seeking information about with that question, Donald. But,
let me jump in. All right, I'm jumping in. Sorry. Back in the old days, we didn't deal with this at all. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I got a feeling that if 4G came along 5-6 years ago, or 3G or whatever it was before 4G, when that started happening, more people started complaining to me about electrical static touching the typewriter, picking up the phone. They couldn't work on the computer. I started having everyone buy thin plastic gloves so they could break the current. But I think that someone who probably knows a whole lot more about this subject will be our guest in about a month. And if you can't wait, you can go to his show and tell him you're from this community and ask him the question, and the rest of us will wait until he gets here. But it is a good question. You asked it of me last week at prayer, or after prayer. But I got a feeling it has something to do with 4G, 3G, 5G, because in the old days, nobody complained about it. And then maybe, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, people started mentioning it. But now more and more has been written about it, okay? And again, none of that really matters to me. I don't really care. All I care about is staying well once I got well. That's all that matters. So, John, sorry.
No, that's okay. Oh. I was just trying to find out from Donald, what more specific applications he was thinking about when he's talking about energy.
Yeah, I was like wondering about how does the body regulate the electricity that it uses? Is it what organ or what part of the body is the regulator?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure how to answer that because multiple organ systems are involved. Obviously, the brain, because if we don't have information, nothing works. But the voltage in our body is measured by ions that are, like chloride and the different the positive and negatively charged ions that are in our body. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, I'm not sure that there is one system that regulates that more than any other. I mean, I can definitely tell you that changes in our liver function or changes in our kidney function can definitely affect that. And so it's not just one system that is monitoring and affecting or being affected by our voltage.
All righty. Get the voltage meter out. what makes me laugh is, again, I don't really care about some of this stuff because I don't believe that having more information is always better. If you just focus on getting well, none of these things are going to be a concern to you. No. Okay. Sorry, Donald.
I don't think that 5G is a harmful technology in his recent habit.
I think 4G started it all, John, because really, think about it, buddy. We didn't hear about these electrical things and all of this 5-6 years ago. We just didn't. But 4G and 5G and towers and this and that, you're right. More of us are going to die. You better get healthy or you're going to get sicker. And that's a quote from Kathy and Clean Green.
I would agree with what you said about Robert. He's probably the better person to ask that particular question to. I would love to hear his answer too.
Well, it's going to be recorded, or you can come and visit. I mean, hey, you guys have been friends longer than I've been friends with him. Okay, so I mean, hey, he's just a good guy. He's always busy now. I mean, every weekend he's flying somewhere, John.
Yeah.
Hey, John, how's Jakin doing?
Jakin is...
Chrissy prays for Jakin every Sunday. Every Sunday, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she does.
I know. I had somebody else send me an email over Christmas asking about Jakin, and I copied him on the response. He really appreciated the fact that there were people here still praying for him. But I told her he has good days and he has some good days. He has a lot of bad days. He's obviously struggling with this cancer. He's got stage 4cancer of the colon, and he has a tumor that's inoperable because of where it's located. And they've used immunotherapy, chemotherapy combinations, and have shrunk the tumor to some extent. And that right now is being evaluated to make sure that things aren't spreading to other places in the body and so forth. But Jakin remains a cherished member of our team, and he hasn't been able to be very active recently, but I try to keep him posted on what's going on, and he is very welcome to be a part of our team as for as long as he wants to and as long as the Lord allows it. He is an amazing man. He's got an amazing heart for God and for serving God.
Well, can only pray and wish for the best, but tell him he's always welcome to prayer because everyone prays for him all the time, John. And Chrissy, every Sunday.
That's awesome.
It is.
He's the first person when I say my prayer that I say, please, Lord, please heal Jakin. Mm. And it was myself that you and that you sent that and it was really nice to that you copied in Jakin and you know that it's so important, isn't it? Just the prayer is so important. I feel for him so much. It's heartbreaking what Jakin and Lauren are going through, but it's good that they've got wonderful friends like yourself, John, and there's a lot of people praying for him. For himself. Yeah.
All righty. Let's keep on keeping on. We're gonna have this, so everyone will be in tears in a minute. Let's pick it up with Lola, the Fandango Dancer. Come in, Lola.
Hello.
Hey, Lola.
Hi, John. How are you?
I am well, dear. Happy New Year.
You too. Just by the way, I talk to Jill a lot. She's amazing. So thank you for her.
Thank you. That's sweet.
Yeah, she's great. So I noticed that the essential flora has changed.
Yes,
so do we need to take that just once a day and in the morning, or what would you recommend?
Yes, ma'am. We have made a change in the formulation on essential flora. It still has 30 billion live cells in it, but it's in one capsule now instead of in two. And it has, instead of 15 strains, it has 10. And the reason is that we had problems with some of the strains not testing when they came in, and you know that happens once, then you know it will delay the having access to that product until obviously you know you get another batch of that in and it does test right. And you know if that happens you know more than once a year, it starts to really interfere with your ability to help people. So we had that happening a couple of times on different ingredients, and so we decided that you know we should just lower the number of strains in the product and use strains that are more prominently in use because of their how much they've been tested and proven over time. So what we've done is we're actually emphasizing my favorite probiotic in the world, which is y'all all know about because, you know, we've been promoting its use through the other product, Manuflora 7, for a long time. But we put that product, it's called Bacillus subtilis, into the essential flora. And so it is actually it's gone from two a day to one a day, but it is actually an improved formulation. And I'm extremely excited about what we're going to see happening with it because the essential flora didn't have Bacillus subtilis in it. And this does.
Try not to fall out of your chair, John. I've been doing this wrong for a long time. I take four essential flora a day of the old, two and two, and now I've just been taking four of the new, two and two. So no wonder I'm like running around like a chicken without a head.
Well, I would not recommend you taking four a day of the current formulation because it's more than enough.
No, I understood that one was more than enough and two would be double more than enough, but four might not be good at all.
So do you take it in the morning, John?
Eventually. Yes, ma'am, I would take it in the morning just because I think it will help give you more energy through the day, and it'll help with digestion and so forth, the things that are going on while you're awake, you know.
Okay,
that's one
you.
Day
you're
one
welcome.
A day only in the morning. Is that before food, John? Because I've always taken my flora just before I started to eat.
You can take them either way. I mean, these products, these strains are temperature and acid stable, so you can take them on an empty stomach or with food, and they'll work great either way.
Okay, well, I like options, you know. I'm learning a lot on this call myself. Jill would probably give me a lecture. All right, let's see here now. Lola, anything else?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you. And if anybody has any questions, I can, you know, answer any questions either through the website or whatever. I'm about 90% recovered, 98% recovered. I don't know what the number is, but
low 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Lola. That's awesome, honey.
I know. Thank you. It's been nice. So it took me a year. But I'm back working full time, and I feel great.
That is awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you both. I owe it to you.
Good to hear. It sure is. By the way, what was your experience as far as the lady that asked me that question earlier today about she was a new person on the formulations or the protocol. What was your experience? Did you see a rapid improvement, or was it slow but steady? I mean, how does it work for you?
With taking the protocol and feeling the healing going on.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, when I met you and Mel, I was bedridden and very sick. I had lost 25 pounds in about 3 weeks. And by March, I was, so that was in December or November. By March, I was feeling a lot better and able to get out and about and walk. And by July and August, I was, you know, pretty close to 80%. And then I would say, you know, by November, I've been feeling fantastic, and you know, I have a few minor issues, but the biggest thing is I don't have any more exit wounds, I don't have any more aches and pains and fatigue, my hair loss is slowing down. And my environment is cleaning up, which is I didn't think was going to happen because, you know, you see some free.
Did we tell you from day one, as you get better, your environment disappears, eh?
It does. It gets it's a lot better. And, you know, I attended every single call and used coaching and stayed true to the protocol, and that was important. And I wasn't afraid to use the WPS. I mean, I still use it today. I'm never probably going to stop using it, to be honest.
Let me ask you a quick question. Are you taking the new copper?
No, I do not take the copper.
Okay, well, you need to go back and listen to the call with Karen. You need to hear what she says, and you need to hear what Nancy says about the copper. Karen feels that it was a possible game changer and got her the last few hundred yards. So listen to it, and then if you want, just call me about it.
Okay, I will.
Because they have a really good staff over there. They have Tatiana, our rep, and they have a doctor who's a real nice guy, can explain things in a way that I'm not capable of. But a lot of people who are taking copper, and there's Dale's on that group, Teddy's on that group, I think Lori's on that group. I don't know everybody, but I know that not enough of the people on our protocol are on copper. And boy, everyone who takes it tells me it's a game changer. So you might consider it. It might take you the final few hundred yards, girl.
Yeah. All right. I'll try it.
All right. Try it. You'll like it.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's unleash Dale. Guaranteed to get well by next fall.
Hey, Mel.
Hey. Yes.
Hey, John.
Question for John?
Yeah. So I was looking back at my recommendations from my naturopath. I haven't been to see her in a long time, but she had recommended I take a spore probiotic. What is the difference between the spore probiotic and what's in the flora that we take?
Well, actually, the Bacillus subtilis is a spore probiotic, which is the main, the most important of all the strains in there. They're just different in terms of the way they propagate and the way they work in the body. They're more aggressive. And they're usually much more hardy in terms of being able to survive in different environments, temperature-wise, pH-wise, so forth. So they're highly valued because of the their properties, how aggressive they are in terms of directly competing against pathogens for space on the wall of the intestinal tract or wherever you're putting them to work. They are aggressive and just highly sought after because of their properties.
Okay. Well, that's sure that it's in what we already take. So.
Yeah.
And also, I had heard something in the news about some kind of bill that was coming, that somebody had proposed, the dietary supplement bill. Could you speak to that, and should we be stocking up on these supplements? Is there a risk of the FDA trying to ban supplements?
Well, there certainly is a risk, and there always has been, because they do pose a threat, obviously, to the sickness industry, which is what I call the medical monopoly, or whatever you want to, however you want to describe it. Supplements are many supplements are natural medicines in their own right, but they don't come to the table with the same kind of intent. A drug is by definition something you're introducing to trick the body and target or mask a particular symptom. We're all conditioned. If you have a headache, you take a Tylenol and the headache goes away. Well, that may be the case, that the headache goes away, but what else is happening in the process? And depending on the drug, that what else and the what if can be significant. But, the products that we bring in the natural products industry, the products we bring to the table are not necessarily usually meant to target or mask a symptom at all. they're targeting the underlying causes of symptoms. And usually without producing other side effects. So it's a completely different approach, you know, what we're doing versus the pharmaceutical approach. It's antithetical in many ways. I'm not sure if that answers your question or not, but if not, please clarify.
Well, let me give them the a simpler way of looking at it from my point of view. We first heard about this a couple of years ago now, John. And same question was asked back then. It probably isn't four or five calls back. And, you know, the government works in mysterious ways, but they also work very slow. So I wouldn't be afraid of this. I would just focus on getting well, so if it happens, you're already better. Amen.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's certainly worth reaching out to your you know, congressmen or representatives and voicing your concern over any threat to that, to access to dietary supplements. I don't expect it to happen, but, you know, I didn't expect a lot of things to happen that have already happened either. So, you know, I didn't expect them to be able to have the world wearing masks and doing all the crazy stuff we just went through.
All righty.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. John, let's go back to it's either Maria or Najla. Come in, Maria or Najla.
I have two questions.
Who is it?
It's Maria and Najla. We both have a question. My question is, can you tell me more about the germ theory?
Sure. Back 100 years ago or so, that, you know, there was a big argument going on in medicine over whether, you know, Louis Pasteur, who invented penicillin. Sorry, I just had an interruption. There was Louis Pasteur, who was the kind of the leading proponent of the germ theory, and that was basically saying that, you know, sickness occurs because a germ or a pathogen enters the body and attacks and causes problems, right? Whereas the other side of that equation was a guy named Claude Bernard, who was saying that the problem is not the germ or the pathogen. The problem is the internal milieu of the body has been disturbed, and the balance in the body is not correct. And basically, the bioterrain, which bioterrain is a very complex subject, obviously, because, you know, the human body is the most amazing and incredible invention God ever made. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. So we've got, you know, multiple organ systems all communicating and working together for our bodies to be able to do incredible things. You know, what our bodies can do is absolutely amazing. But my definition of the bioterrain is the cumulative sum of all of the systems that maintain us and protect us. And so our protocol is designed to restore integrity to the bioterrain. And the way it does that is by, like I said, bringing on all the raw materials that are needed to support every organ and organ system in the body. So it's complex, but it's also simple at the same time. You know, it can be boiled down to simple concepts, but it is very complex. Obviously, the human body is extremely complex. I don't even pretend to begin to completely understand it, And the deeper you go, the more interesting it becomes. I mean, it's I've been studying the human body for, oh gosh, let's see, I am 62, so I guess 40 years, probably closer to 50 years when you go back to high school and all, where I was always interested in science and understanding anatomy and physiology. It's fascinating. It absolutely is fascinating, and I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I studied it.
Well, John, I can only say that I don't claim to have nearly the kind of knowledge of most people who've done that. But when I got run over in 1979 and came out of the third hospital in Haiti being told I would never walk again, I promise I started learning all about, as much as I could about our bodies. And I believe that being a cripple for so many years is one of the reasons that I was able to, I don't know, have the fortitude and the desire to continue in life and not die and let this disease get me. So yeah. I don't know how many years that is. But it seems like a long time, like almost 52 years now.
Wow.
So I get it.
By the way, again,
I could never express myself the way some who are more educated could. But I get it.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Mel, the Louis Pasteur, on his deathbed, it is said that Louis Pasteur recanted and said that that his chief rival, Claude Bernard, was right, that the germ is nothing and the terrain is everything. And I believe that is true, and it's amazing, you know, that the guy that launched the whole germ theory, in the end, before he died or as he died, he realized that was wrong. It was heading us down the wrong path, and it certainly has.
All right. I think. That was Maria, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Now, Naz, your turn.
Thank you. Mr. John B., hello.
Hey, Nazia.
How are you?
Great.
Good
to hear you, dear.
Oh, good to hear you, too. Thank you. Well, I had a question. The question on magnetism earlier kind of sparked it, but it is a question that I had for a while with the olive leaf extract, because I know that it is an antibiotic. And so I wanted to ask a question. If you have, I'll just call it a germ, since there seems to be like speculation on what Morgellons is. If you have a germ that kind of attacks your iron and can change your iron ions to make you more magnetic, like how would how the ratio of the olive leaf in the protocol? How would that? Is it? Is it enough? Is it just right? Can it be adjusted for different people who might have a different problem? Or, I mean, it's like more of a problem than another. How does that olive leaf act as an antibiotic to, like, what we believe Morgellons to be?
Well, I really can't tell you that I believe that olive leaf has specific activity against whatever Morgellons is. Mm-hmm. I just know that olive leaf is a broad spectrum antimicrobial. So there's a good chance that it would have an impact on the organisms, whatever organism or organisms are responsible for Morgellons. But it definitely has broad spectrum antimicrobial activity over a broad range of different kinds of pathogens. And we like it for that reason as a natural antibiotic. But you know, we also use other things in conjunction with it that have other, you know, even broadening our perspective as far as the kinds of microbes that could be affected. And things like monolaurin and candida red, which has a lot of different antimicrobial compounds in it. And that's our strategy, is to bring to bear, you know, lots of different antimicrobial nutrients and have them working together so that, you know, regardless of what the challenges are that are there, that we've got some offense, you know, in the game and to try to bring down the population of those pathogens to a point where the immune system is no longer overwhelmed. And that is the goal with our protocol and with our approach. Is, you know, the protocol is all about building strong defense, and as we add the additional components with the extension kits and so forth, that we're bringing more of the offensive components in and trying to lower the overall infection load in the body so the immune system can get to that place where it's back in charge. And does that make sense, Nestle?
It does make sense. And I was wondering, like, if a person is having a hard time lowering their infection load, like, theoretically, do you add more microbials, or would you increase the dose, or, like, tell them to drink more water, or would you...
Okay, let me stop you here. It's the sum of the parts. Every part of this protocol is introduced to create a synergy. You've heard Chrissy talk about synergy. You've heard people who got well talk about synergy. I don't know that unless you're a special case, that adjustments need to be made unless you have conferences with myself and John, or myself and Robert Scott Bell, and we all concur because of your special circumstances. Just got to follow the protocol and stay real, real patient. Okay? Okay, I'm going to unmute you because we're running really late and it's time to call it a day.
Well, thank you, John. That helped me understand a little more about how they all work. I thought it was just olive leaf, and I forgot about the monolaurin. So knowing all of those together is really helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Yeah, and I'm definitely available if you need to talk more one-on-one. We can talk about what other changes you might want to consider or whatever. But yeah, in the big picture, this is an inside-out process, and it's all about trying to restore integrity to the systems in the body, and that can take time. And you know, it's real easy to, when you first show up and everything is completely upside down, when you get your life basically back again, it's real easy to forget how far you've come. And we continually have to remind people of that, of how far you've come. And because, you know, we all are human. We want to get beyond this, get it behind us, move on, and get back to life. And that's absolutely my goal for everyone here, that you're able to put this behind you and get back to life. But as I had a conversation just the other day with Peter, who used to be a large presence in this community, it's, to me, you know, getting your life back and having the quality of life and being able to work and see your grandchildren and do all those things again is, you know, even if you still have some issues that you have to deal with, that won't let go. That's a huge victory from where most people are when they get here. So it's to me, you know, in these last days, we are all going to be forced to struggle to deal with all the challenges that are here. I mean, this is not an easy scenario what we're up against. And somebody that's dealing with chronic illness, it's even more of a challenge. But, even the people who are most healthy are going to have to deal with the challenges that are coming and that are already here all around us. I mean, we got world-class athletes collapsing on the football field and people thinking that's normal. It's not.
Right.
All righty. Thank you very much, Maria and Najla. John, I think it's time for you to give us a conclusion because you'll be back in about 2 months again and we can pick it up where we left off. And Naz, if you want to get a better conversation with John, send John an email, copy me. We'll get a three-way going. I'd like to hear what he teaches you. All righty. John, what would you like to say in conclusion?
Oh, my goodness. Just what an incredible pleasure and honor it is just to be able to be here and to serve and to love on you folks. Y'all are so amazing. And the email that came through from Chrissy that I forwarded to our brother, Jakin, just the love that we see flowing through this community and through the ministry that happens here, it's incredible, and I love it. It's an honor and a privilege, and I just hope the Lord allows me to continue to do it.
All right, John, it is always an honor and a pleasure to have you side by side and helping give more information and share the wealth of knowledge that you possess. We'll see you again in a couple of months. I'll probably talk on you on Tuesday. In the meantime, God bless and thank you for being our very special guest today. If that's anybody else, all right. Everyone, we're back tomorrow with prayer and fellowship. In my opinion, it's the best 2 hours of a week. So hopefully you'll join us then. Remember, if you have questions, put them up in the forum. You'll get them answered. Oh, there's Catherine of the Desert. Yes, Catherine.
Yes, Mel. I wanted to ask you about the new WPS. You mentioned the last call from Humble. Are we getting that anytime soon? I'm almost out of my WPS one I was getting from Etsy.
All right, send me an email requesting the link, and sometime in the next week it'll get posted with pictures and everything. In the meantime, I'll get you the link.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Just send me an email. John, buddy, God bless, and thank you so much. Really appreciate every time you come and share the wealth. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Everyone, bye-bye for now. Thank you, John.
Bye.
Love
bye,
you, John.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
All righty.